exciting speaker tonight via video. And I want to encourage you. I want you to really tune in to this message. Even though the video is a little bit dated in that T.D. Jakes had hair back when this video, I'm just saying. But the message is so speaking to spirit life. So this is what I need each of you to do. When Dr. Mark Hanby come and speak it through this video, I need you to take an inward look. I need you to take an outward look. Then I need you to kind of look around, okay? Because this video, this message is powerful. Now, I've listened to it about 3 times. It's 1 hour and 12 minutes long. And some of you who have your handouts, this video is going to help you fill in the blanks as we go, okay? But there's going to be a lot of amens in this video, because I'm telling you, he is slicing meat in this video. I'm telling you. You're going to hear stuff. We're going to be challenged. When we look, I tell you what we look in here. He talks about, what we're going to talk about is the spirit of offense. The spirit of offense. And what Dr. Hanby is going to talk about is words like proskoma, which means stumbling or cause to stumble. He's going to talk about a word called scandalon, which means a trap or bait. And he's going to talk about how Satan used proskomas and scandalon. And sometimes we take the bait and we're trapped. So I'm going to encourage you to buckle your seatbelt, because this is a really compelling film. Also in this, I think it's in your handout, there's an acronym, L-O-V-E. I think it may be the last one. L-O-V-E. You see that? He's going to tell us what the L-O-V-E acronym means. Oh, this is powerful. Let me not delay. Mr. Soundsman, cue us up.
Andy's a little feisty this morning. I wanted you to see her, though, because she's got a couple of places on her, here on her neck. She's been bitten by some of the other horses in the pasture. They just continue to have a problem with each other. They nip on each other and bite on each other. They've got something going on all the time. It reminds me of Christians. Seems to me that almost every Christian I know has been nipped on or bitten by somebody or something. We claim that preachers have hurt us, or people have hurt us, or families have hurt us. And the truth is that we've all been hurt from time to time. But I do believe there's a place in God where we cannot be offended and where we cannot be hurt anymore. And I'd like for you to come with me while we talk about the spirit of offense.
Now, are you ready? Since I was so hard on you yesterday, I'm just going to read a little psalm today. And it's going to be sweet this morning. Everybody believes that? Stand on your head. Psalm 119. That big old chapter. Psalm 119. Now, while you're looking for that, I've been asked by, I'm sure, no less than a dozen people, what'd you do that 1, 2, 3 again? I don't have time to do that, but I do want to say, because we are looking for the peace of God in the sovereignty of God, I do want to say that what God is saying right now wants to take us beyond where we are and take us into this great next move of God. Bishop has been preaching that all over the country. and this tremendous happening of God in the Spirit, we are coming into a time of the remnant church. Harvest is not just gathering people in, it's sorting things out. Let the tares and the wheat grow up together till the time of the harvest. The grain goes into the garner, the tares are burned with fire. That's where we are. We're in the sorting time so that we have pure seed. You can decide whether what you have now is your harvest in your churches or your seed. If you count it your harvest, your business is over. If you consider that God is purifying the seed, your harvest has just begun. Where are you today? Are you here? Or are you still looking at Psalms? Oh, okay. Righteousness, peace, joy. Come on, help me a little bit. Righteousness,
peace, joy.
That's the government of God. 1, 2, 3. The first plus the second equals the third. I just want you to remember that. Rightness with God plus peace toward our Lord Jesus Christ equals joy. Joy is sovereign. You can't just have joy. Joy is the response to the first plus the second. You go through the outer court and the holy place, and it equals or takes you into the third, the holiest of holies. To get there, you die. That's the only way you get there, is to die. You go through your flesh. Okay? So we're going to go on today into that place where we have that glorious assurance and where we have that solace. Come on, say it. Solace in sovereignty. That's what we're here to talk about. 119 verse 161. Princes have persecuted me without a cause. These are people in high places. They walk in nobility. They are somewhat. And they've done it to me and had no reason to do it. I feel like preaching right now. I can't even get the Bible read. There is an absolutely wild, mean preaching spirit in this building. Do y'all know you sanctify the ground you stand on? I don't know what kind of concert they had here before we got here. It doesn't matter anymore. Come on, say, it don't matter anymore. Bishop Morton ought to be here to hear us say it. It don't matter anymore. Say it again.
No,
because when you walked in here, you could turn a hay barn into a sanctuary. There's no question about it. Hallelujah. This is holy ground. Say princes. People of renown. People of some note. Men who live in kingdoms. Men of authority. They've hurt me. And had no reason. See, I've got to deal with the issues. This is not a time for funny preaching. This is a time to deal with heart stuff. Because we all hurt over something. Everybody is. Everywhere I go, I'm weary of hearing it. That's how come I'm preaching on the spirit of offense today. Because everybody's hurt. You don't know what happened to me. No, I really don't. Boy, if you knew. Oh, oh, oh. What's that? Oh, oh, oh. Well, that's it. That's where it all goes. Now, I'm going to offend somebody right now, and I'm preaching against it, so I hope you'll get unoffended as soon as I get through preaching. But everybody needs a butt. I'm going to let that fall. Look at everybody. They don't know what to do with that. Princes have persecuted me without a cause. But, see, if you don't get that, you're going to have trouble all your life. Got to. But, my heart standeth in awe of thy word. I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoil. I hate and abhor lying. thy law do I love. 7 times a day do I praise thee because of thy righteous judgments. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. There is a place in God that lifts you beyond the possibility of offense. Somewhere, I'm shocked to think that within the next hour, we might find it. And the answer to all our pain. Wouldn't that be amazing? Would that be good? Great, not just peace. I'm not just making it through. Well, brother, I'm doing the best I can. I'm hanging in there. No. This is great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. If he had said, great peace have they that love thy name, well, then that would be a different situation, because we know his name. He has a name above every name. Amen? I mean, if you're going to get some deliverance, what name are you going to call on?
Jesus.
I mean, if you need healing for your body, what name are you going to call?
Jesus.
If you're in trouble and you don't know how to get out, who are you going to call on?
Jesus.
See, we know the name, the delivering name, none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. We know that name and the power that's in that name. So if the writer had said, great peace have they that know thy name, and nothing shall offend them, we'd be in good shape. And we wouldn't be hurt, because we know his name. Don't look at me in that tone of voice. If they had said, great peace have they which love thy word, and nothing, well, then we could say, well, I've been hurt. Princes, people in high, hey, folks that had some authority, people that really had they had a sharp sword. They did it to me for no good reason at all, but I've got the word of God, and I'm going to get in it, and I'm going to search it. See, that's what we hear. If you'll just get in the word, brother, and if you'll just seek the word of God, well, God will just give you some victory. That's not what he said. Sorry. I wish that were the case. Then we could all just dive into the word here and get that answer. He didn't say, great peace have they which love thy word. I mean, it helps. And somewhere in there must be the answer. But it's not the word that sets me free from offense. It's not the name that sets me free from offense. There's a law. Great peace have they which love thy. Hi, California. I'm glad to see you. Great peace have they which love thy
law.
Come on, you got to help me now. Great peace have they which love thy
law.
Yeah, and nothing. Come on, you got to help me here.
Nothing.
Say it with me.
Nothing.
That means there's nothing. You say, yeah, but I know what you're talking about, but you haven't faced this other situation that I'm in right now. No. Let's all say nothing.
Nothing.
See, nothing shall offend them. I've got to make, I don't want to spend too much time here in this foundation that I don't get into the end part of this to see the emancipation God wants to bring to us from our offenses. But I want to spend enough time so that I drill this into your minds so that you never forget that you have no right to be bitter. You have no right to be angry. You say, but I've got the right. You have no right if you know this one law. Now, the first thing when we say law, the first thing that comes to our mind is the law. Well, I must know. Well, thou shalt do this and thou shalt not do that. And these are the things we normally use to try to keep everybody in line and to keep our attitudes in line. Well, brother, if you just keep praying. Now, brother, if you'll just keep going to church. You know, if you'll do what you know to do, God will take care of the rest. Well, we've been told that all our lives and we're still hurt. Say, well, brother, just don't receive it if they say it to you. Well, if you heard it, you received it. You say, well, I'm just not going to pay it any attention. Oh, yeah, you are. It bugs you every morning. You think about it in the afternoon. You think about those people years later. Come on, somebody say yeah. See, we're going back in our Christianity to a slick psychological approach. Now we're able to talk about, well, the reason why. See, we used to leave that all out in the world somewhere. But now we're saying, look, you've got to understand, you've got to forgive your daddy. Well, now that's right. That's right. But see, what we're really doing here is trying to work around into a counseling setting so that we deal with the problem that we've got, instead of listening to the Word of God and not getting the problem at all. You say, yeah, but what if I've got it? That's fine, but the thing that keeps you from getting it will also erase the fact that you ever had it. I heard Brother Donnie last night say, but don't you have problems talking about your past? And he said, no, because that's all back there somewhere, and I'm right here in my now. If we could find the answer now, yesterday will mean nothing. Because offense is like a cancer. It dies if you stop feeding it. It's like a fire. You don't throw another log on, it goes out. Whatever was burning back there, it's still burning now because you kept fueling it. With your thought, with your anger, with your discouragement, with your disappointment, with your broken dreams that you continue to voice. You should have been in a pulpit, but you're not there. And you're sitting in a church, and frankly, you're a troublemaker. Because you're angry that you didn't make it. Oh, you don't want me to talk like that? I gotta talk like that, because nobody else is going to. And it don't matter to me. I'm a dead man. It just don't matter anymore. We got to talk about this. You have no right to be angry. So you exert your spirit of hurt by a spirit of control, by questioning everything authority does, by calling into account everything that the leadership asks for. They can't afford to put you on a committee. You're a talented lady, but you can't afford to be placed on a committee. Now you're mad that they don't use you, but if they do, you create problems that we can't deal with, and everybody else is offended. So the fact that you don't get used makes you madder. And if we do use you, you are already mad. You're a dissenter. You're a contaminator of good minds. You're a judge of evil men's thoughts. Do you know what the Bible says? Be careful. Don't be the judge of evil men's thoughts. Even if people are wicked people. You say, well, I just know the way that guy is, so that's probably what... No, 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 no. You've judged the man. See, you don't even have the right to judge wicked people. Let alone the saints of God. And certainly not the ministry. Well, I'm feeling better. We nearly got a Sunday crowd in here for morning glory, and it's already afternoon. Come on, somebody shout yes. Yes. So there is a law somewhere. But would you be interested in finding it today? Yes. There's a law somewhere that if I can get it, and if I can learn what it is, and if I can love it, I mean, I've got to come into relationship with, I don't just know it with my head. I've got to come into relationship with that law. I've got to get into alignment with that law. If I can get into alignment with that law, nothing can offend me anymore. Now let's talk about offense a little bit. Let's talk about what the word means. You willing to do that?
Amen.
Well, let me see how I can help you remember it. Not that it makes that much difference. In the Hebrew words, there are four or five that mean offense, and they come from words like bagad, which means the stick that baits the trap. Bagad. When it all filters down from four or five major Hebrew words into the Greek, it comes into about two words. One is proskoma, which means to stumble or to fall over. And the other word is, you ready for this? Scandalon. Say scandalon.
Scandalon.
Yeah, which means to be trapped or to stumble or to cause to fall or to block or to shut up or to keep out. Let's all say proskoma. Now say, I'm in a coma. Say, scandal on. Say, I'm in a coma. Because there's a scandal on. Come on, say, I'm in a coma. Because there's a scandal on. Yeah, you know what the scandal on is? You know what the scandal is? Satan knows. And I have really tried to ferret this out. Satan knows that his greatest weapon in the church is offense. It's the greatest tool he has. And if he can convince you that it's okay to have it and okay to keep it, and if you have the right to feel that way, you are absolutely circumventing all of the work of God in your spirit. It's the trigger point of all spiritual maturity. Oh, come on, come on, wake up, come on, wake up, come on. I know this is not that interesting, but it's going to be powerful here in a minute. Hey, it's the trigger, say, come on, say the trigger point. It's the critical point. It is absolutely the center point of all spiritual maturation. If I ever mature, if I ever get strong, if I'm ever powerful in ministry, if I'm able to do what God called me to do, I will understand how to use the power of offense. If I fall, if I'm hurt, if I'm bitter, if I'm angry, if I fail, it will all be because of offense. As a matter of fact, offense is the critical point. It is the centrifugal center. It is the pivotal place from which all glorious things happen in my life and all tragic things happen in my life. It has that unique ability to be both the catalyst for my success and the reason for my failure. The very same. When this all filters down and we find out that we've got proskoma or that we've got scandalon, what we really have is a little stick with a bait on it, and it's like it's holding up the corner of a box. And if I nibble on the bait and take it, boom, the trap falls on me. So offense is not the trap. Offense is the bait. Offense doesn't hurt me. It just makes me get hurt. I hurt when I fell down, but scandalon is what I stumbled over. The stumbling didn't hurt me like the falling did. If I hadn't stumbled, I wouldn't have fallen. Come on, somebody help me. If I hadn't taken the bait, I wouldn't have gotten trapped. If I hadn't gotten angry in the beginning, I wouldn't be bitter today. If I could have circumvented it at its beginning, I wouldn't be in this condition now.
We're talking about heart stuff in here. Bishop, thank you for letting us be this way. This is not conference preaching. I know that. I'm aware of that. I'm totally aware of that. Hey, this is Bible study stuff, but I tell you what, somebody's going to be set free today. You can go try to forgive your daddy all you want to, but until you locate your offense and realize that's really what it is. You can go through all of the psychologies and all of the psychiatries and all of that you want to, but until you can say, hey, I found a law that actually lifts me up higher than all of that. And I've learned to love that law because that's the law that lets me grow into the purpose of God. That's the law that gives me the right to go into everything God ever promised I could be. I can become all that God knew in the beginning I could be when He touched me and I pursued Him. Yeah. If I can learn that one law, just that one law of God. Wow. Now, let me go back and remind you, maybe we should read it from Isaiah. Just look at Isaiah for a minute, chapter 8. Yeah. Verse 9, associate yourselves, O you people. You're going to be broken in pieces anyway. Let's all say, get together.
Get together.
It won't work. See, we said, well, let's all get together, folks, if we can just get all these folks together. Hey, let's get everybody in, you know, from this one and that one and all of that. Associate yourselves, O you people. You shall be broken in pieces. Give ear, all you far countries. Gird yourselves. You shall be broken in pieces. Gird yourselves. You're going to be broken in pieces. Take counsel together. Let's all say, let's get counsel. See, we all say, now let's get together. And then we say, now let's get some counsel. Same thing. It shall come to naught. Speak the word, it won't stand. God is with us. The Lord spake thus to me with a strong hand and instructed me that I should not walk in the way of worldly systems. My deliverance does not come from patterning after the world's idea of deliverance. I can get together, talk it over, talk it out. Sit down, see if we can work it out, see if we can get the offending parties together, work on all of this. It's still not going to happen. You're still going to be in pieces and scattered and broken and shattered like a piece of valuable china on a glass floor. Bam! Say ye not a confederacy. Yeah. To all them to whom this people shall say, confederacy, neither fear ye their fear nor be afraid. I'll tell you what to do. Sanctify the Lord of hosts himself, and let him be your fear, and let him be your dread. He shall be for a sanctuary, but for a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense to both the houses of Israel, and for a gin and for a snare to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. Among them shall stumble and fall and be broken, be snared and be taken. Bind up the testimony. Don't get weary with this reading. Seal the law among my disciples. I will wait upon the Lord that hideth his face from the house of Jacob, and I will look at, behold, I and the children whom the Lord hath given me are for a sign and for a wonder in Israel from the Lord of hosts which dwelleth in Mount Zion. The reason why we're in the condition we are in is because God is trying to show us by earthly manifestation the condition of the church. If you look at your local setting, the microcosm that you have, this is the condition of the whole body. Everybody is hurting. Everybody's in pieces. This one says, I'm of that. Which stream are you in? I am of Cephas. I am of Paul, I am of this, I am of that, I am of Christ. We have the faith camp. Over here we got the intercession people, worship and praise folks. Over here we got the word folks. We got one conference for that and one conference for this and another conference for that and another conference, and you just keep turning the pages in charisma and you get another conference for this one. And here we got the eagles, and over there we got the captains, and over here we got the generals, and over here we got the rivers, and over here we got the stream. Over here we got the clouds, and over here we got the sky, and we got everybody scattered everywhere. And we say, well, we'll all get together. No, we need to learn a law. Everybody needs to learn it. Just getting together, just coming into association, just having a confederacy will never cure the problems.
in the body of Christ. Ooh, Lord, I'm not popular now. Isaiah 28, woe to the crown of pride, to the drunkards of Ephraim. Ephraim, whose glorious beauty is a fading flower, which on the heads of the fat valleys of them that are overcome with wine. Oh, God's people have gotten fat on the word, fat on preaching, fat on singing. Pride has overtaken us. Verse 14, wherefore hear the word of the Lord, ye scornful men that rule this people, which is Jerusalem, because you've said, we've made a covenant with death and with hell. Are we in agreement? See, if we can go out to the world, let's all say hell. Yeah, we go out to worldly systems, and if we can get the church in agreement, if we can get things all patterned up right, we've made a covenant with death, we've made a covenant with hell. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, it shall not come to us. For we have made lies our refuge, and under falsehood we've hid ourselves. I don't want to hurt your feelings too bad today. I told you I was going to be sweet and read from the Psalm, but I'm going to tell you about what's happening in Christianity today. We've got a flaky, phony, greasy, slick. We've got a professional, if you can do it right, move right, say it right, puff at the right time, hit the highest note, do the right things. We have manufactured a something that moves the spirits of men. And the problem is that while we get all excited, like I told you yesterday, when you settle back down from that excitement and that one ethereal moment, you're right back down to a heart full of anger and bitterness and loneliness. We've got churches full of people who live on tranquilizers. Come on, it's the truth. We preach healing and folks spend millions at the doctors. I'm not against the doctors and I'm not against any of that. I'm just telling you that we need to stop roaring our engines if we don't get a good transmission. We need to stop saying all these things if we don't have something to back it up. I'm weary hearing what God can do and then watching us say these things and shout over it and walk right out the door and make an appointment with a psychiatrist. The church is sick in its heart because we're trying to make deals with denominationalism and we're making deals with worldly systems, and our churches look like Hollywood and we sound like the Emmy Awards. We need a revival that changes the heart. It needs to get in your guts. We need a heart transplant. You want to go to the doctor? Go to Dr. Jesus and say, I've got a heart of stone. I'm happy with my worldly allegiances. I do fine patterning my church just after everything that makes people happy and entertained. And the more I can entertain them, the more they come. But you get up and preach like this and see where they are. I'm not trying to be mean. I'm worried because I know something. I know what's happening. I'll tell you what the next great move of God is. You want to know what it is? It's going to be the wind of God that blows through our churches. You've been blaming the devil. Some of your dearest friends, the elders that have stood with you for years, they're packing up and leaving. You know why? Because their heart wasn't there ever. And you didn't have enough discerning to know it. And those deacons that are so loyal and faithful, until they get tired of you, they don't pick up your briefcase as fast as they used to. The real problem is that we do all of these things because of honor and show and bowing and grace, and all this is a routine. The world does the same thing. That there's a difference in just sliding around and doing some proper things to make people look good and having a real heart of a servant that says, teach me, Bishop. I'll be a son at your feet. I'm not just doing something to see if I can get your good graces. I know how to open your door, but it's not just if I can open your door right. I want you to know that I cannot be offended by your word. You can tell me anything. Tell me I'm good. Tell me I'm bad. Tell me I'm right. Tell me I'm wrong. I'm going to open your door the same way every time. D-
Don't come hopping around the men of God and the women of God telling them how great they are when down in your heart you're looking for exaltation and promotion. And then when it doesn't come, you're angry. Let's all say there's a scandal on. See, offense is not a sin. Temptation is not a sin. Jesus said, pray that you enter not into temptation. See, if temptation were a sin, we couldn't have this scripture in the Bible. Jesus was tempted in all points like as we, yet without. So you couldn't read that scripture out of the Bible if temptation were sin. So to be tempted is not a sin. It's lacking judgment as to what to do with this temptation. See, folks that don't stay hidden in the house long enough with the treasures of knowledge and wisdom will eat the wrong fruit every time. And if Eve would eat the wrong fruit, then we will nibble at this wrong stick that holds up the box that becomes our trap, our prison, our cage. You see, it's impossible for offense to be sin, or Jesus could not be the cornerstone. Because as I read on down here, in this same scripture, you've made a covenant with death, allegiances with hell, but this is what God, therefore saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion. I mean, you can make covenants and you can pattern all you want to and you can try all of this agreements and get together and do this and do that and talk it out and get counsel and see if you can get the offending parties together. That brother, they haven't spoken for years, and this organization, that organization, they've been killing each other for years. Let's all get together and see if we can talk this over. That's not going to work. I'm sorry. We've tried all that stuff. Not going to work. He said, no, Brother Hamby, you shouldn't say, no, I'm going to tell you it will not work. Been here a long time and watched all of that, and we walk right away from those things and take off our pasted grins and do the same talking we did before, because the problem is not at the table, it's in our hearts. And until God lays a stone in this foundation of the church, you know what it's going to do? It's going to be a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. That term says he that recognizes it shall not fall over it. If you recognize it, you won't stumble at it. See, we're stumbling because we think that the elder leaving and the deacon mad and the two main families who pay the biggest tithe in the church just left and went across to a little charismatic church somewhere that has gotten three times as big as your church in 2 years, and you've been there 30. And that's really offending you. I mean, you've been laboring for 30 years. And they come in across town and start doing. I mean, they can't even dance. You all know that. White folks can't jump, can't dance, can't do nothing. I learned one move around here last year that I've got down. I've been practicing that all year. I just do the best I can. They can get over there. They ain't got no soul. They ain't got no muse. They ain't got. But you know what? They turn around. Oh, I love you, brother. I love you, Ellen. And there's a little good in that and a little bad in that. I'm going to get to that in a minute. But let me just explain this to you. The Bible says that Jesus, this stone, this foundation rock, is a rock of stumbling. Come on, say a rock of stumbling. And a stone of offense, or a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. Say, a stone of stumbling, a rock of offense. He's set there. He's in your church. If you can have deacons around for years that are full of the devil, it's because you lack a rock in your foundation. If you've got old gossiping men and women in your church that keep it going on all the time, maybe I ought to say, if you rattle your jaw continually, the truth is you're addicted to offense. It's like heroin. You get a bite of it and you can't do without it. And if ain't nobody done you wrong this week, you're going to go find some sister that somebody else did wrong and you'll borrow her offense, because you've got to have a fix. You've got to have it because it's addictive. Offense is addictive. It's heroin in the body of Christ. And we've got users everywhere. And we've got dealers everywhere. Junkies on every corner. And they're trying to sell you their problem and tell you their disappointment and tell you what they don't like about Moses. And they'll do it all in the name of the Lord. I mean, when Korah comes out, come on, every Bible scholar that knows what I just did, say amen. When Korah comes out, he will be waving a censer, and so will all the other 200 or 250 of the, come on, say princes. Come on, say princes. These are not your little humble people that live on welfare. These are the folks that got an engineering degree and think that they're spiritual. Come on, somebody say it. Woo-ta-ya-ya-ya-ya-ya-lo. And they always come out waving a censer, a type of praise. Oh, glory to Hootaya. Glory to God. Yeah, 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 yeah. Brother Moses, brother, you take too much on yourself. You know, are we not all prophets? No, you're not all prophets. God doesn't give five visions to a church. There's one vision in a house, and you didn't get it. And you think you've got the right to be angry. No, you don't. You're offended. And that's why you're bitter. It's a spirit of offense in the body of Christ. Boy, if we get this one cured, man, there's no telling what could happen. See, look at the next line. The next line says, judgment. Wait. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. He's not going to follow. He's not going to get all excited and do something terrible. If you believe, you know, you. Let's all say, if I believe, if I know the cornerstone, if I understand why it's there, I won't get overly excited when judgment comes. Because the next line says, judgment also will I lay to the lion and righteousness to the plummet. And the hail shall sweep away the refuge of lies, and the water shall overflow the hiding place. You see, the reason why that rock has got to be in your church and in your foundation is because everybody that walks in your house needs to do one of two things. They're either going to fall on that rock. Remember, I said it's the pivotal point for your spiritual maturation. If you ever get big in God, if you ever do well in God, it's because you stumbled on that rock. I'm telling you that the offense is either you're going to fall on the rock and be broken, or the rock is going to fall on you and grind you to powder. And the reason we're going through some stuff in our churches right now is we didn't stay hidden in the house long enough to understand the treasures of knowledge and wisdom. So we lack judgment in the house of God. Judgment and justice have forsaken us, and they are lost to us in our houses because we don't understand judgment and we're loving everybody. Come on, brother. Come on in here. Come on. Oh, he plays the music. Come on in. You do good. Well, I heard you someplace. Come on here. Sit down, Zacchaeus. But before he touches that thing, you better look at how clean his hands are. We fill our congregations with people who have talents and abilities. And see, that's because we're making allegiances with hell. And we think if we can just all get together, well, get them all together. Now, wait a minute, just a minute. Hold on just a second. It's fine as long as you make sure the cornerstone is squarely set in the door of your house. So everybody that walks in either falls on it or it's going to fall on them sooner or later. What's happening right now that we don't understand with our churches having all these struggles and all these problems, people going, people coming, is that the rock's falling on us because we didn't fall on it. We didn't learn justice and judgment. We didn't learn from the treasures of knowledge and wisdom. We didn't stay long enough in the glory to take on the image of the same. So when we come out trying to do what we're doing it after the knowledge of men, not after the knowledge of God. Consequently, people can walk in. We have no discerning. We have no judgment. We can't separate the precious from the vile. My goodness. So if they sing good, we say they're anointed. If they play good, my God, they're instant members. Come on, somebody say amen. You know it's the truth. And if they make a lot of money, my Lord, who knows? God sent them here. Maybe not. Maybe the devil planted them there. There are some tares, you know, that get planted among the wheat, too. Am I making you all unhappy? Oh, we are. Tony, go start the car. How are we doing so far? You say, I don't like what you're saying, preacher. That's because you've been offended for years and I'm just feeding your fire. I happen to be a little stick with a bait on it today. If you get mad at me, you're just proving you've got that nasty spirit all over you. If what I'm saying is ringing a bell and you're saying, yes, 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 something in you, hey, there's enough righteousness there to find out what kind of law we can get so that never again, ever, ever in my life, ever, nothing can ever offend me. Never offend me again. Ever, never, never, never. Never, never, never get caught in that trap again. Never in that trap again. Never. You say, yeah, but they had no right. That don't make any difference. They can't trap me. You say, but he's a prince. That's fine too. Just can't trap me because I'm going to not nibble on that bait. I can be offended and see offense without entering into it. I can look at bait and say, that's bait. You know why? I stayed hidden in the house long enough with the treasures of knowledge and wisdom so that I'm not going to eat the wrong fruit. Because the second man, Adam, entered in with his wife, who is me. And I learned what the first man, Adam, didn't learn. I learned judgment and justice. And without that, and if it doesn't begin at the house of God, and if the foundations be removed, what can the righteous do? So he laid this stone of stumbling and offense in the foundation of the church. As a matter of fact, there must be heresies. I'm going to go one farther. See, the cross, the Bible says, is to them that perish foolishness. Help me quote the scripture. The cross, to them that perish, it is. But to us who are saved, it is the power of God. See there? Same thing. Same cross. Make one man mad, made all of you glad. Same stone. You stepped up on it and said, here, boom. Break my back, boom. Break my neck, boom. Break my arms. As a matter of fact, take away my identity. Come on, just put me back down on that wheel and take away whatever I thought I was. Whatever I thought looked good. It don't look good. Go ahead and break it all up and start over again. Well, some of us try to get around it. But as soon as you do and you get in somewhere and sit down, it may take 10 years, it may take 15, but that rock is going to get up and fall in your congregation someday. And the folks you thought were so wonderful, you're going to watch them like powder blow away in the harvest wind. Well, let's see. There's a law in here somewhere. What is that law? Guess I gotta hurry, don't I? Yikes. What is that law? Well, I know what it is.
Well, we know it can't be the old law. I mean, you know that, the do and the don't law. No, because that one, it ain't going to work. At least that's what Paul said. Let me see what he said back here. But Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, hath not attained to the law of righteousness. I mean, they tried to do it. They couldn't. It didn't work. Wherefore? Because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by works of the law. For they stumbled at the stumbling stone. As it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and a rock of offense. And whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. I'm going to go one better. God didn't just lay this rock in Christ in the church. But the apostle said there also must be heresies among you. Oh dear. Let's all say heresies. Let's all say false doctrines. Let's say false spirits. Let's say false attitudes. Let's all say they must be in my church. Didn't say that. Now I want to warn y'all, there will be some. No, he said there must be. Come on, let's all say there must be. So here's what we got to say next is thank God for all the reprobates. Oh, I can't do that. No, let me tell you why. Because you hadn't found the law yet that lifts you beyond offense. Because they offended you by their unrighteousness. But if you had learned the law that lifts you beyond offense, they can be unrighteous, and all they do is manifest you because you react to them in such a righteous manner that it approves you and says who you are. And if that's not in the house, nobody knows who anybody is. That's why devils and saints sit on the same pew and never know which is which. Because they all say the same name, sing the same song, dress the same way, listen to the same music, dance the same step. And one of them saved and the other is a tare in the wheat field and was planted there to see if they could get you to enter in to their addiction. You say, well, I'm going to pray that God will dig them all up. Lord, move out everything that's not right. No, I'm sorry. I wish that could be done. I prayed that for years. You know what I found out? If you ask Jesus that question, Lord, shall we pluck them up? You know what he'll say? No, leave them. Leave them. They can't hurt unaffected people. They can't hurt people that know the law that lifts them above offense. You can just leave them in the field. You can leave them in the house. They can sit right on the bench. Our problem is not the iniquity of the unbeliever. Our problem is not the reprobate and his nasty spirit. Our problem is that our lack of judgment does not give us an understanding of how to respond. That's why some devil can come to you and say, you know what the bishop said about me. Right there, you ought to be approved and manifested. You know what you ought to say? Honey, I don't know what he's done to you, but I know what he's been to me. He preached the word of God to me, brought life to me, and I'm so happy. And I thank God that God set that gift in my house and that God brought me to this place so that I can glorify him. And whatever your problem is, you need to go and pray and repent and get right with God, because I hadn't got time to listen to it. And I love you, honey, and God bless you. But I'm going to keep rejoicing in the Lord and in the God of my salvation and in the set ministry over my house. And I thank God for the vision. Oh, he'll make some mistakes once in a while, but don't we all now? And even though he's got the office to be respected, he is a man, has to put his britches on one leg at a time. And he will make a few mistakes, but since I'm not looking for them, I haven't seen them lately. And the real truth is, I'm happy in Jesus. Hey, you need some devils around so you get to say that once in a while. I'm looking.
looking for them devils to come to me. I love it when they come and say, you know what Brother So-and-so said? No, am I supposed to know? Who died and left you in charge of the newspaper? I'm so happy not knowing. I don't think I want to get messed up by knowing. I don't need a fix. I don't live on an addiction to offense. So don't ask me to shoot up, because I'm already high. Whew. I like the stuff I'm taking better than what you're selling. I'm sorry, but the price is too high. If I nibbled at your bait, I might be in your same prison the rest of my life. And I like the liberty I've got right now. Well, I think I better see if I can find that law, because we ain't got long to look. I tell you what it must be. Let me think of all the laws. Let me think. See, there are three major ones in grace. Oh, of course, there would have to be three. You know that. The first one. Oh, I know what it is. Yeah, yeah. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Well, that is a law in grace. Let's all say the law of life. Let's all say I've got life. Let's all say I was once dead. But now I'm alive. I was lost, but now I'm found. I don't have my life, but I have his life. Yeah, this is the law of life in Christ Jesus. I'm alive in Jesus. I know a lot of folks alive in Jesus still angry, still bitter. The fact that I found him did not lift me beyond offense. A lot of saved folks offended, hurt, broken, bruised, all the way from their youth and their molestations, their batterings in their first marriages. Oh yeah, the ridicule by their own educated children who mock their humble roots and ignorance. Those who had callings in their life that are now just dreams unfulfilled, like pieces of confetti in a March wind, and every time you reach for something, it's gone, and you've run until you're out of breath, and finally you just stumbled and fell down and said, I don't think I'm ever going to be able to be anything. The loss of value, the low self-worth, the small esteem that live in the hearts of our saved people, it's haunting. It puts us into the worldly race of competition, trying to get better, trying to be better. It throws us into a falsehood and into a whole world of lies. We try to be what we're not, because we're afraid people don't like us as we are. And you can be saved and all of that still rages. You've got a boss at work that abuses you verbally every day, every day, every day, every day. You come home weary, sick in your guts. But you got to make a living. What am I going to do? Well, just one thing after that. There's no end to it. You have to realize you're offended. You are offended. That's right. And the law of life in Christ Jesus doesn't take that offense away. You can be saved and still be offended. Well, there's got to be another law somewhere. That didn't work. I mean, it helps, you understand. He gets us in the gate. Here's another one. Let's see if this will work. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty. Oh, here's a good one. And continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man is blessed in his deeds. Let's all say the law of liberty. Let's all say, I'm free. See, some folks are saved, but they're not free. They've been called out of the grave, but they're still bound hand and foot. Come on, somebody say yes. Somebody needs to loose them and let them go, because they're still bound,
But now we've got some folks in the world, a lot of folks in the world. The little church across town in 3 years that grew three times as big as yours, they got this. They've got the law of liberty. They're free to do anything, everything. It's all right. Whosoever will, let him come on in here. And it's not Jesus saying it, it's a preacher saying it. Come on, all of y'all. Well, if you want to do it that way, that's fine. And if you want to do it that way, that's fine. And if you like it that way, that's good. And if you like it this way, that's good. What this really is a big smorgasbord. You come and nibble at whatever you like. We're going to spread it wide enough, broad enough, so that something on this table is going to appeal to you somewhere, sometime. I mean, we'll have enough guest ministry through that somebody, you'll like them. We'll have enough singing through that you're going to like somebody singing. And if you just hang around here long enough, you're going to like us because we like everybody. Everything's okay. And there's no judgment in the house. No judgment in the house. Nobody can stumble over anything else because they have this pseudo-law that says, I'm blessed, I'm so blessed, I'm so blessed. I'm so blessed, I'm so blessed. And you're blessed and you're blessed. And it don't matter what you think and what I think. And we don't know who we are. And I don't know who you are. And the first time somebody gets offended, you know what happens? It's that other little church over on the other side of town that just came in. It takes about 3 to 7 years. And everybody that was over here goes over there. And now you say, oh, my church is growing. Well, good for you. If you just wait 3 to 7 years, they'll all be over there. And then you're going to be suffering what the folks were suffering when they all came from their place to your place. And so we got this glorious Chinese checker game going on all around town. We haven't changed marbles. We're just changing sides on the board. Whoever spreads the biggest feast gets the biggest crowd. Whoever can put the biggest sign up closest to the freeway. It really doesn't matter. And as a matter of fact, everybody's going to say, hey, listen, I've got rights. I'm free. I'm free. Let's all say I'm free. I've got liberty. But the Bible says you better be careful not to use your liberty or abuse your liberty, because you can turn that into lasciviousness and you can turn that into a cloak of unrighteousness. What is that, a cloak? You got a coat that covers up all kinds of ungodly stuff. I mean, you've got liberty that lets you do any good old thing you want to do, but you can cover it all up and say, I'm free. I am the righteousness of God in Christ. I promise I'm going to quit here shortly. I am. Let's all say I. Yeah. And over here we say, hey, I am the seed of Abraham. See, and it puts I at the center. Abraham is somewhere else, and Christ is the right. I am the right. No, it's the I am the righteousness of Christ. But we say, I am the righteousness of Christ. It's the victory of the believer. No, it's the victory of Calvary. I only have what he bought me. I am what he is. I'm not what I am. I'm what he is. And once that liberty takes over, then everybody has the right. Then here's what. I don't have to go to church, and I don't have to listen to a preacher, because I'm free. And you can't tell me what's right and wrong, because I'm free. See what I'm saying? Come on. And if you offend me, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to pull my little tree up and go right over there. Now he's my bishop. I used to be at y'all, but I'm over here now. I like the way he plays the organ better. He don't hold churches long. He don't preach all afternoon like Mark Hamill. And on those kind of trivialities, we base where we are going to move ourselves. We never ask the shepherd if the sheep have a right to leave the pasture. They never come to you and say, brother, listen, I feel this. Could you send me? Could you lay a hand? They don't want you touching them. They don't even want you to know they're gone. They're gone 4 weeks before you figure it out. You say, where are they? My God, where have they been? Have you seen them? Oh, yeah, I seen them all right. I seen them over across town. I seen them in the mall. They wouldn't even speak. You know what? They got offended. You know why? There's no government. There's no stone in the house. They didn't fall and get broken, because if they did, they could go through some things with you. They could go through some storms with you. They wouldn't pack up and leave every time the wind blows.
So the law of liberty is a wonderful law, but it's based in the Word, and we already said it's not just loving the Word that lets me be on offense. Well, okay, I promise, I hurry. Hey, if ye fulfill the royal law according to the Scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Oh. As a matter of fact, I just remembered it. Lord, which is the greatest of all the commandments? If I could have just gotten to that first, I wouldn't have preached for an hour and a half. Because he said it right off the bat what it was. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God. See how simple this is? With all your heart, all your mind, all your strength. And the second is likened to it. It's the same as it. In other words, it becomes the manifestation in the earth of it in the heavenlies. It is the same. It's just on the earth while that one is in the heavenlies. See, that one I do in my spirit there, but this one I manifest to the saints here. I love my neighbor as myself. Now what happens? This is what simply happened. We just shifted over a small little line. Nobody ever perceived it. Instead of saying, I've got rights, they have no right to do that. See, that still allows offense. But when I say, I have no rights, because I've entered into the solace of the sovereignty of God. And to do that, I had to pass through the first and the second laws. I thank God for life in Christ Jesus. I thank God for liberty. I have light shining, and I smell bread, and I see incense, and I am gloriously blessed. Let's all say I'm blessed in my deeds. But I do not live in my blessing. I step on through myself, and I die to all my feelings, and I lose my life. It was the first thing Jesus said I had to do. If I lose it, I'll find it. But when I find it between the cherubim shining in my face, and I take on the image of the same. And all of a sudden, if I ever do step back out, they don't even see my face. There's a veil over my face. All they're seeing is glory everywhere. Glory everywhere. I start manifesting His glory. You say, what does that do for you? Well, what that does is that dead men don't care. Come on, say, dead men don't care. Yeah, but brother, you know what she said? It doesn't matter. You know why? Because I love Him so much. And that's not all. I love her too. Yeah, but she said bad stuff. Yeah, but you know what? I understand why she did that. See, now I'll close with this. And when I say I'm closing, if I could write on a big board up here, L, I'm going to do it down this way. L-O-V-E. L, I have to locate my problem. I have to realize that all of my reactions, the reason I talk bad, the reason I don't submit to authority, the reason that I am hard to get along with, I have to locate that and say, that's because somewhere I took the bait and I am offended. If you don't learn that, you're going to stay in jail. You say, well, my daddy hurt me when I was a little girl. That is a serious offense. And I haven't spoken to him for the last 40 years. Now we slip down to the zero. You've become the oppressor because of your offense. You're doing unto others what they did to you. He hurt you and isolated you. Now you'll hurt him and isolate him. She said it, I'm going to do it back to her. No, don't. Offenses must come, but woe unto the man by whom they come. Don't become the offender. Follow peace with all men and holiness. You can't follow peace without holiness. And holiness without which no man shall see the Lord. Are we okay so far?
Yes.
Oh, don't become V. Let's all say V.
V.
V. I have to verify where my pain is coming from. Was I offended by man? Was I offended by Satan? Or am I offended by God. Because the same offense, the offense could be God-given to make me fall and be broken. That, if it's God, the reason why he put it in my way, the reason why he let me go through it, the reason why I'm in this hard place, is he wanted me to grow strong. He wanted out of my charcoal to find gold. He wanted to crush me hard enough to make diamonds. He wanted to perfect me. And the only way I can do it is to fall down and be humbled and be broken. And the only way that happens is if I fall over that stone of stumbling, if I come to that scandalon and fall down. But if I don't know God is doing that in my life, and I don't perceive that it's God, then I will blame the people who seem to be the... I'll get offended by the obvious, because people become the messengers by which God's truth is sent to my soul. And if I get offended at the person, it's like getting a message from the king and saying, I hate you. Don't cut his head off. It's the king you got a problem with. They'll murmur against Moses and Aaron every time. All Moses and Aaron were doing is saying, thus saith the Lord. You're not really mad at that man. You're mad at God. We got a whole church full of people mad at the God they're praising and expecting him to bless them every day. And they manifest it, see, because there's a second liken to it. Thou shalt love the Lord. I say, I love God, but I can't. Oh, no. You missed something serious here. You can't love him if you don't love your brother whom you have seen. And you can't say, I love the Lord my God with all my heart. Then the second is like unto it, thy neighbor as thyself. But you can make all kinds of mistakes and excuse it. He can make one mistake and you destroy him. That's why love covers a multitude. Yeah. And if you love your brother, there is no cause of stumbling or offense, Johns. If you love your brother. Yeah. V, you have to verify, is that, because if you don't, you're going to bind God and say, Satan, have your way. Because you don't know where it's coming from. You don't know if it's God trying to refine you or the devil trying to destroy you. Or some person just taking out their own vengeance on you because of their own pain. But if you can verify it, I have been hurt. I am offended. There's no question about that. Number two, I'm not going to fight back. I'm not going to become the oppressor. Number three, I'm going to verify. This is God working in my life. God allowed that to come to me so I would get stronger. Praise God. But if I don't know that, I'm going to say, God, move this thing out of my way. I ask you to take that person out of my life. I want this out of my life. And you'll pray against the will of God that would have given you the opportunity. You see, it works either for your good or for evil. It is the same thing. Offense either makes you great or destroys you. The same thing. And finally, E, you are emancipated by your understanding. When I know where it's coming from and what it's for, I'm immediately released from it. If it's the devil, he can't hurt me because he's under my feet. If it's people, I'm going to pray for them because they wouldn't feel this way if they weren't hurt. If it's God, I'm going to say, go ahead and do it, because you didn't send it to kill me. You sent it to make me strong. So whatever I'm going through is all right. So I'll say it's all right. You see, you can't be offended if you understand that law. It's impossible for you to be offended. Great peace and solace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them.
Thank you for being with me today. I pray that the message on the spirit of offense has been a blessing to you. Prayerfully, the things that have hurt us and wounded us almost mortally in our past can now just be places where seed can fall into with proper process,
and grow into righteousness and righteous things. God bless you. Thanks for being with me. I look forward to being with you again soon. Bye-bye.
Hey, we can breathe again. How was that? The Spirit of Offense, Dr. Mark Hamby.